So Mr. Foster, Mr. Ahmed is here. Okay, we can now all stand for Pledge of Allegiance, Reverend Kenny.
I pledge allegiance
Allegiance
to the
to the
flag
flag
of
of
the
the
United
United
States of
States of
America
America
and
and
to the
to the
republic
republic
for
for which
which
it
it stands,
stands,
one
one
nation,
nation,
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty and
liberty and
justice for
justice for
all.
all.
May item number seven, do we duly pay the bills? May I have a motion?
We have to swear in Mr. Reinerston, Mr. Reverend Kenny. Ron, you swear the testimony given before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, all you got?
I do. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you. Now we can pay the bills.
Tom, we also might have to swear in Jimmy Clark and
Oh, okay. You're right. I just didn't see him on screen, so I figured. Oh,
sorry about that.
Mr. Clark, and you swear the testimony you'll give before the board will be the whole truth.
I do.
Okay, now we can pay the bills.
I see Madam Chair is here. On.
Hello, everybody. I've been
Hello.
watching you guys. I've been watching,
Hello.
but here I am now. Did you do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, ma'am.
We're up to
Okay,
number
we're.
seven.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We're about to pay the bills, Madam Chair.
Can I have a motion to pay the duly audited bills, please?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I second it.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number eight, adoption of resolutions and to memorialize action taken on May 8th, 2024. Mr.
Reverend
Barlow?
Kenny, I make a motion
Okay.
for the adoption to memorialize action taken on May 8th.
Is that item 20A, 23PB 11/12V as in Victor?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Do I have a
Make a
second?
motion. I second that.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Mr. Kent, Reverend Kenny, you want to give us a motion for this next one? Adoption of resolution to memorialize. Make a motion to for adoption.
Biosciences 23PB-01.
Okay, so do I have a second?
Dawn Corcoran, I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Can I get a motion to adopt the minutes of May 8th, please?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make the motion.
Can I get a second?
I'll second that, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 10, discussion. To discuss whether the property designated as Block 3702, Lot 2, shown on page 37 of the current Piscataway Township map, tax map. Who's going to take charge of that discussion?
I am here, Chairwoman. Good evening, everyone, members of the board. I'll be presenting that study for you. I'm sharing my screen now. I've actually taken the liberty of jumping to page five of the report where it kind of gets started on the study area description. So, as you said, this is Block 3702, Lot 2, better known as 2 Hancock. It's actually right on the corner of Normandy and Hancock. This is in the western, northwestern part of the township, near the borders of the borough of Middlesex and borough of Bound Brook. It's actually located in your R10 residential zone. If you have my report, there is a map at the end where you can kind of see the aerial to kind of give you a locational setting. But what exists on the site today, it's a 2.5-story residential home with driveway, 2-car garage, fenced backyard, shed on the outside of the fence. You know, pretty standard residential home. It's lot size about 0.3 acres, and the home is 2,100 square feet. It's actually operating as a 2-family home, which is not permitted in that zone. You can actually confirm this both by township records, but also there's 2 meters on the side, there's 2 mailboxes, lots of cars in the driveway. It's pretty clear that there's 2 families living there. But when we dug through the zoning records, it actually turns out in 2004, the zoning board approved an application for that home to continue operating as a 2-family dwelling. I think it was discovered that it was not approved by a variance, and it was allowed to continue as a 2-family. I'll go through the photos in a little bit, but the house itself is not in terrible condition. Little signs of dilapidation or unhealthy living conditions, little bit of wear and tear, but nothing obvious that would deem it dilapidated or unsafe. But for context, this study area, this lot, is adjacent to 10 Normandy Drive, which you may remember you recently, or like a year and a half ago, I presented, and yourselves and the town council decided to make it in need of redevelopment. So that lot was a vacant lot. It was the old Union Carbide phenol plant that stopped operating in 1987. So this lot is right next to it. In terms of environmental hazards, I actually surprisingly did not find any. Given the level of contamination at the old phenol plant, I thought there would be something, but actually nothing turned up. So it does not seem like there are any wetlands or any concerns there. Your surrounding land uses are a mix of commercial, industrial, and residential. The south and the east is more of a residential neighborhood. And if you kind of move west towards River Road, you'll start to see more warehouses and industrial uses. From a master plan perspective, as you all know, vacant developable land is diminishing in your township. So older sections of the township are more prime for redevelopment, and this fits right in there. This site was originally developed in 1914, and the residential neighborhood in that area was probably developed in the 50s and the 60s. So it's definitely an older part of the township that could benefit from redevelopment. And as always, the state planning area classification is always the same for the township, so there's no concerns there. So I'm going to jump to section 5, where we start getting into the photo, so you can kind of see the condition of the house. In this photo, you can see the 2 meters there, 2 garbage cans. Well, that's not atypical, but you can kind of see the fence and the shed on the side of the home. You can see the 4 cars in the driveway, the 2-car garage. And in here, you can see the 2 mailboxes. So this confirms that it is a 2-family home. And, you know, when I did my analysis, typically we're looking for something that meets some of the criteria for in need of redevelopment. But in this case, none was actually found. However, I'm still going to recommend it is in need of redevelopment because of a specific statute that's in the law. So this is starting on section 6. It's something called necessary inclusion. It's not often used, but in some cases it can be justified to include something as in need of redevelopment, even though no obvious signs of dilapidation or other things that meet those criteria are found. So I'm just going to read it for the record. It's section 4 of the local redevelopment housing law. It says a redevelopment area may include lands, buildings, or improvements which themselves are not detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, but the inclusion of which is found necessary with or without change in their condition for the effective redevelopment of the area of which they are a part. So I'm going to go through a couple of things of why I think this is a necessary inclusion. And when I say necessary inclusion, I mean adding this lot to the redevelopment plan for 10 Normandy. So they actually came before your board for site plan approval, and they required a number of landscaping and adequate buffering both along Normandy Drive and Hancock Road. So we think the inclusion of this lot will actually enhance that buffering by creating more space, but also more depth, more physical space between the neighborhood and that redevelopment project. So it's almost like a transition area from this new redevelopment project and the adjacent residences. So I think there will be a net benefit to include this lot for a more effective screening and buffering. Further, another benefit is specific to stormwater drainage. When they went before your board, I believe they had to build a retaining wall in order to capture the stormwater drainage in an effective way. If we include this lot to Hancock, that retaining wall would no longer be needed because it would allow for more natural grading and percolation of rainfall into the ground. Since you have more space to work with, there's more just natural drainage available. So that would be a net benefit of including this lot. I skipped a page. And then a third benefit is they need a driveway to access the site from Normandy. And to Hancock Road is actually like right next to it and may cause some site triangle issues. So the driveway had to be 10 feet. But if we include this, it would actually remove any nuisances from that close driveway to that lot. So it makes sure the project complies with applicable law, but really makes it safer for those trucks to enter and exit onto Normandy Drive, as they'll have better lines of sight in either direction for oncoming traffic. And then finally, there are actual benefits to the township if we add this lot to make it more effective. That includes providing a 60-foot right-of-way for the remainder of Normandy Drive and a portion of Hancock Road along that intersection. It will remove the multifamily residential structure, the two-family, that conflicts with your zoning in that district. So that will make the zone more in harmony with its intended types of uses. And the removal of the structural wall will return the tax lot to its intended density. So all those benefits and improvements, I think, will make for a more effective redevelopment, and it's necessary to include it in order to get those benefits. And I don't see any detriments in any way of including this lot in the redevelopment plan for the surrounding community. Typically we include the smart planning criteria, which is the age criteria. This was applied to Tem and Normandy, and for very similar reasons, I think this criteria applies to Hancock, in that you'll be able to use existing infrastructure and your proximity to Interstate 287 for such uses as was envisioned for the 10 Normandy redevelopment plan would be furthered. So with all that, I'm going to conclude that this study area to Hancock should be designated as an area in need of redevelopment based on the fact that it meets the criteria H, but also the language I just went over for the effective redevelopment of that area. So if it's found to be in need of redevelopment, it would be allowed to be included in the 10 Normandy Drive redevelopment plan. So that would be amended to include the acreage for both lots and therefore implement that more effective redevelopment. So that's really everything I wanted to testify on in terms of summarizing my report. So I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Clarkin. Members of the board, do you have any questions of Mr. Clarkin regarding his report?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to note for the record that the mayor logged on prior to Mr. Clarkin's testimony with regards to it. So based on his attendance throughout, he would also be eligible to vote on this matter. Just wanted the record to reflect that.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill. If I may ask of Mr. Okay, Clarkin. This site now is not owned by the people who live in the home. Is that an accurate statement?
It's my understanding that it may be under contract to sell. I don't know if the owner lives there or just owns the home and is renting it. But whoever owns it, I believe, is under contract to sell.
The deed is an LLC or something like that out of Houston.
Oh, is it? So maybe it did go through. I thought I saw something.
No, that sales from 2018.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay, so they're essentially renting out the house then, I would have to assume. I mean, the sale was for a dollar in 2018, so I'm not really sure how that all works. Okay, that was my primary question. I'd have to guess that the members who live in this house somehow are aware of them needing to move out or will be given the appropriate amount of time to find other housing.
That I do not know. I was not notified by anyone in the township that they needed assistance. But that can be something we can follow up on to make sure they have enough time.
If Madam they're renting, Chair, I assume they have a
lot. Excuse me. Wait, one person at a time, please.
Who's speaking? I believe the sale went through.
Okay.
That was the mayor speaking.
Yeah. And I was just saying, Councilwoman, if there's a lease as a tenant, they'd have to comply with the terms of the lease or, you know, make other financial arrangements, I assume.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
So then our understanding is that it has been sold. The property the sale has been completed. Per the mayor. Right. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the members of the board? Thank you. At this point, we should open it up to the public for any questions that they may have. Ms. Buckley.
Mr. Clarkin, can you unshare your screen, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Much easier that way.
Members of the public. Okay, go ahead. If you have any questions.
If anyone from public has questions or comments, you have to raise your hand and then I can give you permission to speak about this application. No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. If there's no other questions of Mr. Clarkin, are we ready to make a motion on whether this area is in need of redevelopment?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a motion recommending that the property be designated as a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment.
Is there a second?
I will second that,
Madam Chair. Did Reverend Kenny I'll second it?
Thank you. Can I have roll call, please?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, there's a resolution that's also been prepared, and if the board so chooses, it would be appropriate to adopt the resolution at this time, identifying Block 3702, Lot 2, as a non-condemnation redevelopment area.
Can I get a motion to adopt the resolution?
Motion, Councilwoman Cahill.
Can I get a second?
Second, Dawn Corcoran.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. That concludes that matter. Resolution's been done. Item number 10, discussion. To discuss whether the property designated as... Number 11. It sounded familiar.
Thought I messed up.
addendum to the redevelopment plan for block 1701, 2.03, known as 4100 New Brunswick Avenue.
Yes, I will also be
Mr.
handling
Clarkin?
That. Yes, okay. Thank you. This one's a bit more straightforward. I'm sharing my screen just...
Okay.
It's kind of boring. It's all text, but I'll just kind of summarize. So as you may recall, block 1701, lot 2.03, it was requested of me to study that as an area in need of redevelopment back in 2002. That was done. It went before the planning board and the council. It was adopted as an area in need of redevelopment, and a redevelopment plan was prepared later that year in November 2022. That was also adopted by both board and council. However, since that time, no redevelopment has actually taken place on the subject property, and the existing tenant that occupies that property currently today is still in operation. And so the issue at hand is if that existing operator needs to fix something or make a slight change to his operations, and it needs to come before this board, it's going to need a ton of variances because of the redevelopment plan in place. Because the way we did it is we had it as a superseding. So that means the M5 manufacturing zone no longer applies, only the redevelopment plan does. So in order to not have that, because we want to keep the intent of the redevelopment plan intact and not harm it in any way, through this addendum, we want to change that to, instead of a superseding, make it a underlying zone. So this would change it to where the M5 is still intact as the underlying, and then the redevelopment plan is on top of that, as it can also apply to that site. So what that would do is, is the current business operation called Transpackers Services Corporation. They can continue indefinitely as there's no timetable to implement the redevelopment plan. And in the time it may take to find a redeveloper, as I said, if any changes or upkeep, they would be able to do it by applying under the M5 manufacturing zone, under which they, I believe, originally got their approvals under anyway. So this would remove the need for a large number of variances. That would just be an undue burden both to Transpackers, but also wouldn't benefit the redevelopment plan we put together in the first place. It says that deviations may be granted as long as it doesn't substantially impair the intent and purpose of the redevelopment plan. And if we didn't do that, I think it would unfortunately impair it. So I think this is a necessary change to have the M5 become underlying and still have the redevelopment plan applicable to the site. And in summation, this would just allow the existing tenant to make improvements to his operation should it need until a redeveloper can be found for the site. Yeah, that's just a quick summary of the addendum and why we're doing it and its purpose, and happy to take any questions.
Members of the board, do you have any questions? Okay, since there's no questions from the board, Ms. Buckley, would you see if there's any questions from the public?
Thank you. No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Members of the board, what is your pleasure with reference to this report?
Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill, I'll make the motion to accept Block 1701 2.03, also known as 4100 New Brunswick Avenue, as an area for the addendum. I guess this is the addendum to the redevelopment plan, Mr. Clarkin?
Correct. It's just an addendum to make that slight change.
Right. So I'll make the offer to accept the addendum.
Do I have a second?
I'll second Reverend that. Kenny, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
And again, Madam Chair, based upon that, I prepared a resolution, if it's the board's pleasure, to adopt same.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to accept the resolution?
Motion, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Second, please.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
And
thank
our
you.
Final
evening.
Oh, you're not on this next discussion, Mr.
Clark? I'll wait around just to make sure.
We got to hire him to do it first.
This one's on Mr. Barlow.
Okay. Sorry. You may go then, Mr. Clark.
All right. Have a good evening.
You're dismissed.
Good night.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Number 12 is a Discussion item to authorize Mr. Clarkin through Foresight Planning to amend the redevelopment plan for block 9201, lot 46.20, which is the Rivendell Meadows. There's a previous redevelopment plan from March 6, 2017. And it's been requested that we that the planning board look into retaining Mr. Clarkin to amend the redevelopment plan.
Okay, that's the request. We need a second, or
need a motion to retain Foresight.
Okay, can I get a motion to retain Foresight?
I'll make that motion, Dawn Corcoran.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion, Reverend Kenny.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
And again, Madam Chair, I prepared a resolution to memorialize that in the form of resolution, if there's a motion to adopt the resolution to retain Foresight.
Can I have a motion to adopt redevelopment plan to retain Foresight?
Reverend, can I make a motion to adopt the resolution for the redevelopment plan?
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran? There she is. Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. The motion for the resolution has been passed. Item number 13. 23 PB 23/24 Vias Invictor Spark Car Wash LLC for a preliminary and final site plan.
I believe Mr. Chang is here for that.
Good evening, Madam Chair, board members, board professionals. My name again is Jeffrey Chang from law firm Fox Rothschild out of the Princeton office. We've been continued since the May 8th hearing, and this evening I have three witnesses I'd like to testify, one being Matt Canale, who is the operations manager. Just to answer a few more questions, we heard some comments from, I believe, the mayor and councilwoman about market data. So we just wanted to have him share briefly some additional research that he did, because those were excellent questions. And then I would have Andrew Vicio, the traffic engineer from Stonefield Engineering, and John McDonough, the professional planner, testify.
Okay, you may call you. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to note for the record, this is a continuation of a hearing that started on May 8th, 2024, and was continued after Mr. Chang had presented several witnesses. I just also want to note for the record, there is an objector to this matter who was given an opportunity to appear at the May 8th meeting and did not. He had confirmed that he was going to be appearing today several times to several different people. I think Mr. Chang, myself, and Ms. Buckley, and we all received a letter about an hour and a half ago indicating he was not going to appear, and he was not going to, I guess, present any objections on the record at this evening. And that was by letter from Mr. Liston dated June 12, 2024. With that having been said, Mr. Chang, you can certainly continue your application and call your next witness.
Sure. I just briefly have Matt Canale, who's the real estate manager at Spark Car Wash, testify. Mr. Canale, you're still under oath. I don't know, Mr. Barlow, if you need to re-swear him in.
And one other thing I wanted to mention, the seven board members that were here on May 8th and heard the application are all present again this evening. Mr. Foster, who's here present, has listened. He watched the video and he has certified the transcript, so he can also is eligible to vote, Mr. Chang.
Okay, thank you.
With that being said, Mr. Canale, you understand you were sworn in at the last meeting. You understand you're still under oath before this board?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chang, your witness.
Sure. Mr. Canale, could you just briefly share some of the additional research you did regarding, I believe, as mayor and councilwoman's questions market research, distinguishing with the other car washes in the area, and emphasizing the modern environmental friendly aspect of this use. I wanted to make sure the record was clear and to obviously honor the them with a well thought out and researched answer in addition to what you presented last meeting.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Good evening, members of the board. I really appreciate your time again tonight. I think as part of what Jeff alluded to is just starting off with maybe just reiterating a few points that we made the first time around and then addressing, you know, specifically one of the other competitors in the market that I think there was a couple of really good questions about and how just from a business perspective, we all at Spark here are comfortable ultimately with the decision and this being a profitable and successful longstanding business within the community. So I'll start with just making kind of a high level just reiteration that, you know, as, you know, being in the business we're in, you know, it's widely understood and backed by evidence that there's a true distinction between a modern express car wash and other car washes, that be it full serve or exterior only and so forth. That's evidenced by not only our own workings within various markets, but also widely understood and accepted throughout the industry. And also the largest full service car wash in the country. It's a company called Autobel. They've alluded to the same. So they're also testifying to the fact that you know, there's really two different customer bases, and that's because of the product offering. It's because of the overall experience that each offering provides. So with that, I think, you know, the car wash in the market that I think is truly the only similar product offering is the one on Sealy, which there were a number of really good questions about previously. And it is our, you know, my opinion specific to those questions. And I went back to look at some further data that I, in my opinion, and backed by some data that that wash may not be as strong as, you know, others would be in a better real estate location. And I think being on Sealy off of Stelton and behind Walmart, you are relying in that location on the customers already traveling there to shop at Walmart or Lowe's, which is next door. And if you go into that Walmart parking lot, unless you're coming from Stelton on Sealy, you're not going to see the cars at all. So most of the what the data does is it backs up the fact that most of the customers that travel to that Walmart are coming from a different direction. They're coming from Centennial, because that's where 287 ties into the exit, coming from the eastbound traffic, and also ties into pretty dense populations on the north and south side. So it's really, in order to be front and center in front of that car wash, you would really need to take one specific route, where there is really five routes that you that customers take to ultimately enter that Walmart. So I think that that data, which is via a platform called Placer AI. What Placer AI does is it collects cell phone data that show how people trade within markets for retail strength tracking purposes. So it's pretty live, updated data on a real-time basis, and that's that. The data I was looking at is a prevailing 12-month data, so it's very recent as well. I'll also just go in a little bit more depth on the market as a whole, and why we feel comfortable with what's being provided there. An additional industry, widely accepted industry standard data, and also something that we personally, Spark, experience is that 20,000 people within a 3-mile radius is a population base that we would feel comfortable operating one of our car washes in. And that said, $20,000 people per express car wash. So in this market, there's only one true express car wash, and the population base that you're working with in a 3-mile radius of Piscataway is just under 100,000. It's 99,000 and change. So 99,000 and change, based upon the metrics that we use, not only us but industry wide, is more than enough for to ultimately serve successfully the customer base that is there. And On top of that, that's not accounting for the people that travel to town to shop, which I got into a little bit more the first time. The Piscataway trade area marketplace draws from quite a wide area due to its proximity to 287. And it's a very convenient location from people as far west as Bridgewater, as far south as like North Brunswick area, which is a very dense population, and further north to other Marxist to the north. So for all these reasons, we have come to the conclusion and feel very, very confident in this conclusion that another well-positioned, well-operated, modern express car wash with the aesthetics and business operations that we ultimately will provide will be a very successful venture within the municipality and township for many, many years to come. So hopefully just that added information helps. Thank you very much.
I have nothing further for Mr. Canale. If there's any questions, I open up for that.
Members of the board, this witness hasn't had his testimony. Does anyone on the board wish to ask him any questions?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. I just wanted to understand that I heard something about a mention of the entrance to the area off 287 was on the South Washington side. Was that where you were saying most of the traffic was coming from? I mean, versus, I apologize. I'm just trying to understand that whole entrance exit to 287 or off of 287. I didn't quite understand that piece of it.
Sure, absolutely. So what the data says that most of the traffic is coming from, let me just make sure I'm getting the street names correct. Bear with me 1 second. Right, from South Washington and Centennial. So South Washington is the main thoroughfare that connects the population base to the north. Centennial is the main artery that connects the population base to, we'll call it the south and southeast, further in Piscataway. So what I'm trying to say is, in order to run directly past the car washes there, you would have to turn down Sealy. There's only one route to see it. You'd have to go down Sealy because everybody else is coming through and from Centennial back onto South Washington at 287. So,
okay, so 287, just so you're clear, has exits both on the north and southbound sides on Stelton Road. And the southbound entrance, actually, there's a massive sign there that everyone can see from 287 that links right onto Stelton Road, where you would take a right and a right onto Sealy. So, and I mean, I've never done this study, but I'm going to venture to guess that the Stelton Road entrance and exits, based upon my experience driving in town, are well more traveled than exit 6, which is the South Washington entrance into town. That's not an expert, and you can't, you know, that's not based on any data. That's just based upon traffic that I see, because Centennial is the heavier trafficked, and Centennial is the would be like the retail, right? There's no retail on South Washington. Well, there is. There's the one shopping plazas each across, but like along that, you don't pull into various stores. So Stelton Road, both southbound and entrance southbound and northbound, are very heavily trafficked, and I'm not so sure how a statement of you can't see the sign, that's a pretty big car wash sign that you can see off 287. I'm not saying that the data is wrong or anything like that, but there are two entrances, and they're one off of 287 that is immediately next to where the car wash is.
Yes, 100% understood.
Okay. Right. Now, I just wanted to say that. I have no facts and no data, but I just wanted to state that there is that entrance there.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. I think the distinguishing factor is that, yes, absolutely, Stelton is very highly traveled, which is why we want to be there in front and center on Stelton. There's definitely a difference in our experience between a signage and the actual physical product operating business. There's a draw that the operating business and an energy that the operating business that has a sign just can't provide. But in order for that traffic to go by the car wash itself, it would have to go down Sealy. And most of the traffic that's on Stelton going northbound is making a left on Centennial to get to the retail, not on Sealy. The only traffic Sealy's getting is the southbound on Stelton from the other side of 287. Because
okay, yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's very true. Right, you can't make a left onto Sealy. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There you go. So that's why Sealy is it's just not highly traveled. And in order, you know, I think the business model maybe that they rely on is different. I think they do position themselves as a destination, which probably works well for them. We're more of an impulse. I think what our data says is that about 50% of our customers are impulse and about 50% are destination, right? So that's a whole half that we're relying on capturing as a result of being well positioned within the market, which is why, you know, we wouldn't go for a location like that due to those factors, right? So being front set and on Stelton, which we 100% agree is a very heavily trafficked road, makes a lot of sense for us. And I think this trade area is so strong that there's more than enough to provide for a couple of different very successful express car washes.
Right. And now this is not a question, but more of a statement. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is where the PPAC Gladstone Bank was or is still standing. Am I right or am I wrong?
It's a bank building. What the previous.
Oh, okay. But it's a bank building. So yeah. That bank building, you know, you cannot make a left off of Stelton to get into that location. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to pass you where you were on the left, there's no U-turn, right?
Understood.
There is a left onto Centennial, a left into a plaza, a back out onto Centennial, and a right. You have only one side of Centennial. Traffic, only one traffic area going that way. You're not getting both sides because there is a median there.
Understood. And I 100%, one of the biggest things that we kind of discussed as a team is exactly that. And really the conclusion is that we're flanked by two very, very busy anchored, big box anchored shopping areas, one by Target, the other by ShopRite, the other by Walmart. There's a lot of traffic going back and forth shopping at each of these individual centers that we're okay 100% with the right end route given the positioning within that corridor.
Any other questions? Any other members of the board have questions of this witness? Hearing no response, Ms. Buckley, would you open it up to the public to if they have any questions of this witness?
If you have any questions of this witness, you could just raise your hand and I'll give you permission to speak. No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. You may call your next witness.
Sure. My next witness, Madam Chair, is Andrew Vischio, professional engineer, PTOE out of Stellenfield Engineering. If I could have him qualified and sworn in.
Sure. Mr. Vischio, if you could state your name, spell your last name for the record.
Andrew Vischio, V as in Victor, ISCHIO.
And your professional address, sir?
92 Park Avenue, Rutherford, New Jersey.
You raise your right hand. You swear a testimony to give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Your witness, Mr. Chang.
All right. Mr. Vischio, could you tell the board your education, degrees held, status of your professional licensing, and if you've testified before other boards and perhaps even Piscataway in the past?
Absolutely. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. My license is in good standing. I'm also a certified professional traffic operations engineer. That's a national certification. Received my bachelor's and master's degrees in civil engineering from Georgia Tech. Have been practicing for approximately 13 years and have been accepted as an expert before multiple land use boards throughout the state of New Jersey. This would be my first time in Piscataway.
Madam Chair, I ask if the board could be so kind as to accept Mr. Vischio as an expert in traffic engineering.
He's accepted.
All right, thank you. Mr. Vischio, could you just mark your traffic report that you submitted on behalf of Stonefield, just for the record, title of it, when it was dated, and last revised, so we have in the record?
Absolutely. Stonefield Engineering submitted a traffic impact study dated August 11th, 2023. And also to assist with my testimony, I would like to refer back to Exhibit A3, which is a site plan rendering exhibit. I'll be sharing my screen in just one moment.
All right. And Mr. Vischio, if you could, in the narrative, walk the board through the scope and extent of your traffic analysis, the impact of the proposed car wash with the drive-through, confirm its relation to future planned development projects, describe site access, traffic circulation, queuing, drive aisles, emergency access, ingress, egress, and trip generation in the narrative. That would be greatly appreciated.
Mr. Chang, would you mark your report where he's testifying from?
I'm
sorry? Does it need to be marked? Does it need to be marked?
This was A3 from May 8th hearing.
Okay. Yeah.
This has previously been marked in the reports in the record and should be part of the documents provided to the board members, Madam Chair.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
So please go ahead, Mr. Vischio.
Thank you, counsel. And just to confirm before I go any further, everyone should be looking at the colorized site plan rendering. I've marked it as Exhibit A3 in the top right. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. As I previously stated, Stonefield Engineering prepared a traffic impact study on behalf of the application. The extent of that report is that it was conducted in accordance with Institute of Transportation Engineers guidelines. Essentially, first, we investigate the existing site and the surrounding roadway network. We then project the anticipated traffic that would be generated by the proposed site to conduct a roadway capacity analysis. And also very important is that we evaluate the site access and on-site circulation. As for existing conditions, as was just mentioned previously, the site is currently occupied by a vacant bank with four drive-through lanes, accessed via one right-in, right-out driveway. The site is located along southbound Stelton Road, which is a divided highway, as was previously discussed. The site is located between Centennial Avenue to the north and Hadley Center Drive to the south, both of which were included in the study network. Stelton Road provides two travel lanes in each direction. Land uses are commercial in the site vicinity. Stelton Road is under Middlesex County jurisdiction, as my colleague Paul Much mentioned previously. We do have preliminary approval from the county regarding the site access. Roadway traffic volumes as part of our analysis were collected along Stelton Road at the closest intersections to the north and the south during the times of the day when traffic is at a peak and could potentially be impacted by our site. So that's existing conditions and our existing analysis. Moving along to our future analysis, we turn to the Institute of Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual to understand the amount of traffic that may be generated by the proposed development. The manual allows us to perform these calculations by either the number of drive-through tunnels for a car wash or the square footage of the actual car wash tunnel. We performed both calculations and utilized the more conservative values. Our results indicate that during the busiest time period, which would be the Saturday midday peak hour, one vehicle would enter the site about every 50 seconds. That totals 74 vehicles in an hour. The next step we take is to superimpose that new traffic onto the adjacent roadway network and conduct another capacity analysis and compare conditions with and without the proposed car wash. Our findings indicate that the study intersections to the north and south would operate generally consistent with the future no build condition without the Spark car wash. One request in the Dolan and Dean traffic review letter was to support our trip generation data with that of an existing Spark car wash site, which we did. We studied the existing location in Sicklerville in Camden County and found that the Sicklerville location, which has been operating for a few years now, had a higher trip generation than ITE would project for the Friday peak hour, 16 more entering vehicles than ITE projects. However, during the critical Saturday midday peak period, the Sicklerville location had fewer trips than the ITE projections, about 20 fewer entering vehicles. So our conclusion there is that because traffic volumes along Stelton Road are higher on a Saturday than a typical weekday, given the dense commercial nature of the area, we feel confident that the submitted traffic study contains the most conservative analysis that we can conduct of the driveway. When I say conservative, I mean we analyzed the Saturday, which is higher than a weekday, and we used ITE data for Saturday, which was higher than the existing count location. So feel very comfortable with the results of our analysis in the submitted traffic impact study. Moving our focus back onto the site design and site access, referring again to the site plan that's being shared from my screen right now, the site would be accessed via a single right in, right out driveway along Stelton Road, which you can see here. We don't just conduct a capacity analysis of the surrounding intersections. We also conduct the capacity analysis of how that driveway would operate in the future condition. The findings indicate that the driveway would operate at generally acceptable levels of service and delay. We're looking at approximately 15 to 20 seconds for a vehicle to exit the site and enter Stelton Road. The queue is expected to be about one or two vehicles looking to leave the site during the busiest peak hours. That's capacity of the site, of the site driveway. The geometry of the site driveway is also appropriate for the site's design vehicles, which in this case are fire and trash trucks. Turning templates have been submitted within the site plan set. As far as on-site circulation, upon entering the site, vehicles would travel in a counterclockwise direction to three pay stations and a single car wash tunnel. I'll refresh everyone's memory. As of now, we are contemplating two of those pay stations to be pay per wash and one to be member only. However, that is subject to change in the future as we develop our client base in the area. 27 total parking spaces are provided on the site. Six angled parking spaces to the top of the page shown here are intended for employee use only. And the remaining 21 parking spaces would be fully equipped with vacuum and other accessories used by patrons to clean their vehicles. The size of the parking spaces and the drive aisles is something I want to emphasize. They are significantly larger, both the parking spaces and the drive aisles, than industry standards for a typical shopping center. Your standard parking space in a shopping center is 9 feet wide by 18 feet deep. In this case, we are proposing 13 feet wide parking spaces, and they would be 19 feet deep. Additionally, that center drive aisle where people pull in and out of the parking spaces is not your typical 24 feet, it's 30 feet. All of this is to facilitate efficient maneuvering of patrons cleaning their vehicles while they may have doors open, trunks open, may not be parked perfectly, so that you are able to pull into an empty space next to someone who may be cleaning their vehicle. The last topic that I want to touch on about the site design is the queue storage. We have queue storage for more than 30 vehicles, which is far more than is anticipated to be needed. To elaborate on that point, it takes approximately 2 minutes for a vehicle to travel through the tunnel. And the tunnel is long enough to process 4 to 5 vehicles at any one time. Again, the tunnel is 135 feet long. So conservatively, assuming only 4 vehicles can fit in the tunnel, again, 2 minutes to travel through the tunnel. The tunnel can process approximately 120 vehicles per hour on the conservative side, or one every 30 seconds. Referring back to our the peak demand that we're anticipating, that is 74 vehicles. So looking at the capacity of 120 vehicles per hour, the demand of 74 vehicles per hour, and the ample queue storage available, we feel very confident that the site has been designed such that the any queuing that would take place at the pay stations would not impact the driveway or the drive aisles. So with that, I just would like to, you know, conclude that the proposed development based on our traffic impact study would not have a significant impact on the traffic operations of the adjacent roadway network. The design of the proposed driveway is sufficient both from an operations and capacity perspective and a geometric perspective. And the on-site circulation and queuing is more than adequate to accommodate the anticipated traffic patterns. We are in receipt of a traffic review letter dated January 22nd, 2024 from Dolan and Dean. I did my best to touch on all of the requests in that review letter in my direct testimony, but I'd be happy to answer any questions and elaborate further as necessary. Council, that concludes my direct.
I have nothing further on direct for Mr. Vicio. I open him up to the board and board members.
Members of the board, does anyone on the board have any questions for Mr. Vicio? Hearing no response from the board, Ms. Buckley, would you check the public to see if anyone in the public has any questions of Mr. Vicio?
Mr. Vicio, can you unshare your A3? Thank you.
Please raise your hand if you have any questions for. No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Do you have any, Mr. Chang, do you have any other witnesses?
Yes,
tonight?
My last witness, Mr. John McDonough, who I'm sure the board knows well. He gets all the glory at the end. So with that being said, if I get him sworn in and confirmed as expert in planning, I really appreciate it.
Mr. McDonough, if you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your address, please.
Sure. Hi there, everyone. My name is John McDonough, and that's spelled M-C capital D-O-N-O-U-G-H. My business address is here in Parsippany, New Jersey, 101 Gibraltar Drive, Suite 1A, and I am the project planner.
You raise your right hand, Mr. McDonough. You swear the testimony given before this board to be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Your witness, Mr. Chang. Sure.
Mr. McDonough, I know you've been here to this board before. However, please give your education, your degrees, confirm your license are still in good standing, and confirm that you've been you testified before this board before.
Sure. My license in professional planning on the state level is current and in good standing. I testify on a nightly basis throughout the state, including here many, many times. I'm also certified on the national level, AICP, American Institute of Certified Planners, also current and in good standing. Again, I testify in that capacity before land use boards and in courts as well.
Mr. McDonough is accepted.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. McDonough, if you could, in the narrative, discuss your planning justifications, the C2 variances that we're asking this evening, confirm that this use is permitted in the zone, confirm that you've been to the site, you've reviewed the zoning ordinance, master plan, reexamination, master and overall master plan, and then just to just also note which exhibits and reports and applicants' materials you're relying on for your planning expertise.
Sure. We've done a standard and comprehensive review of the application as filed. I'll call it a standard planning analysis, whereby we review existing conditions, proposed conditions. We review the zoning, particularly the GB, General Business District regulations, where this is a permitted use and has been found to be a permitted use in other applications as well. The applicant is seeking some relatively minor relief. The heavier regulations in your zoning ordinance are all hit here by this applicant, and the applicant has respected that. The bulk criteria with respect to the building height, the building coverage, the floor area, the overall massing controls, the lot area is 9 times greater than the minimum zoning requirement, the lot frontage, the lot depth, the setbacks on all sides for both permitted principal uses and accessory uses as well. And as you just heard through Andrew's testimony, the parking complies as well. So this application stacks up very well with the GB zoning criteria, both from a use and from a bulk massing standpoint. The applicant does need some relief related to signage, and we'll tie that back into the benefits of the application as a whole. This use and this redevelopment of this particular piece of property does serve a beneficial public purpose, and we'll tie the two together or the application as a whole under the Pullen case, whereby the board, in considering the balancing test and the benefits substantially outweighing the detriments, looking at the application holistically. The first thing we always do is take a look at how the development marries up with the site. So we're just going to take you back with some exhibits that I believe, Jeff, have already been entered to the board.
Sure.
Maybe not.
Mr. Barlow, I can't recall about this one.
The exhibits I have was A1, which was a colorized rendering of the site for May of 24. A2 was an aerial exhibit of the current conditions. And A3 was a site plan rendering. A4 was an architectural rendering. A5 was a floor plan. And A6 was a package of 5 colorized renderings of the original site and building. I don't think this was utilized, especially because it indicates it was taken by Mr. McDonough's office.
So A8, if you could.
So it would be A, what did I say? A7.
Oh.
So A7 is an aerial photo from January of 24.
A7, Mr. Barlow, is actually a 4-slide exhibit. They're all aerial drone photographs that have been sitting here on the shelf from January. What's nice about this, one, it makes us appreciate the warmer weather a little bit better, but two, more importantly, it shows that even with the leaves down, this is a site that has excellent buffering. This woodland that you see in the back is actually part of the subject property and is to remain as part of the redevelopment of the site and continues on to the lands that would be west of the site as well. Again, constrained by wetlands and waters and other environmentally constrained areas that would prohibit the development of those particular lands. So the nice thing about this application is that the applicant is working within the development footprint of what has already been disturbed. And as you see, I'll just try to zoom in a little bit here. With our frontage on Stelton Road in the foreground, we've got, again, what was last used as a bank. I agree with your councilwoman. This was originally or previously the the branded as the Gladstone PPAC Bank. That was about 8 years ago that it closed up. Looking at some historic photos from the street level, it looks like it was a Subway, a sandwich shop at one point as well. So it's gone through multiple branding, multiple uses here as well. It is flanked by two auto-centric uses, including Pep Boys Auto Repair, and then an auto service use as well. I believe it's called Bridge Auto Service. And then, as you just heard, not only do we have the auto uses flanking the site, but we've got three major shopping centers that are also around this site. It is substantially a commercial area, if not entirely a commercial area, defined by auto service centers and retail centers as well. And as I said, the lot behind the subject site, that's lot 5.06, contains vast, deep woodlands that are constrained by wetlands. Your planner, Mr. Reinertsen, actually called out in his report that this site does technically have frontage on three streets, Stelton Road, and then we've got two paper streets as well that wrap around the subject site. Walker Lane and in the back, Howard Grand Boulevard, are constrained by streams or wetlands, so unlikely that those paper streets would ever be converted to real streets. So technically, we're dealing from a physical standpoint with Stelton Road as our frontage road, our access, our ingress in and out. Just to take you through the rest of the slide packet here, all we did was spin the drone around, starting with a view to the west, then looking to the north in frame number two under A7, again, to give a sense of the heavily developed non-residential area that this will be a land use that certainly will complement, not only from a physical and established land use planning standpoint, but also in terms of your zoning criteria. Frame number three spins us around looking to the east, and it just reinforces what we've said in the prior frames, woodland buffered area in the back, working within the confines of the development footprint that's already there, and heavily commercialized area along a main corridor that is lined by commercial uses that this land use will certainly complement. And then finally, the last view takes us to a view looking to the south and just reinforcing what we've said all along, working within the development portion in the front, preserving the undeveloped portion in the back. Now stop share there. And then now in terms of the development plan that's before you, you just saw this with Andrew's testimony, but again, a very nice, balanced, well-organized layout here with the tunnel type car wash, the queuing areas, and of course the central vacuum court as well, all integrating in a nice free flow of traffic through the site, in and out and through the site as well. The building, one story, 4,841 square feet. I know you heard a lot of testimony last time from Paul and from Matt and from Oliver about the building and the site and the operation. So I'll just hit the main points here. As you've heard, this is going to be branded as a Modern Express New Spark Car Wash. It is, again, one story, 4,841 square feet, modern, fully automated tunnel type system. It's going to have a very attractive, neat, well-organized appearance. The grounds will consist of those 26 parking stalls that you just heard about, 21 vacuum, the 5 employee with the credits, fully conforming with your ordinance requirements. The 3-lane queue, which has ample capacity, and I believe that was reinforced by your own traffic expert in its report, that the queue capacity is ample and adequate here. You just heard Matt's testimony again, the importance of this is being a membership-driven land use with state-of-the-art equipment. You've got the water recycling here and the eco-friendly aspects as well in terms of the overall use. Again, this is in the GB General Business District. It's a zone that nests everything in your C zone with additional uses above and beyond that. And we know that permitted uses in the C zone include business offices and personal service stores, where you have found in other applications with this land use that this falls within the rubric of that land use category. So in terms of zone conformance, again, the list is long, the use is permitted. And in terms of bulk, I just ran through all of them as well, how all of those heavier bulk controls are met. In terms of the relief, the applicant is asking the board to move on preliminary and final site plan approval with some C relief that predominantly relates to signage And we'll jump off here and we'll just take a look at the applicant's sign package. And you saw this in Oliver's presentation last time. We're looking for three signs on the building facade where one would be the maximum allowed. They're well broken up. The overall area is slightly above what the ordinance allowance would be. There's been some movement in terms of elimination of a logo and a sign that would be on the south elevation or the Walker Lane elevation. So where we've landed is we've got the proposed east elevation. This would face up towards 287. You've got the Spark Car Wash wordmark and logo on the top facing Stelton. That is 76 square feet, fits nicely within the tower element. Likewise to the north elevation, the long axis. Actually, this is the portion that faces up towards 287. This will face towards the north. You've got the tower element with the Spark Car Wash and the logo at 44.3 square feet. And then finally over by the mat cleaner area, the Spark Park, as they call it, is only 8.8 square feet. So that adds up to approximately 129 square feet, where based on your 10% of the facade ordinance maximum, 88.9 would be the maximum that's allowed. So we're looking for relief for about 40 square feet above what the ordinance would require. I think the visual speaks for itself, that this is going to provide nice hierarchy, give some purpose to those tower elements, a focal point, if you will, a demarcation and identification of the land use therein, and a very nice, simple, tasteful package without being overbranding or excessive or gaudy, but a nice overall clean look that will reinforce the branding. We're also looking at relief related to the ground sign area, which again is relatively modest in the context of the ordinance. 50.1 square feet is what the applicant is asking for. 32 square feet would be the maximum that's allowed. Again, this is a sign that is approximately 12 feet across by about 4 feet high, so relatively modest in its overall dimension, and that's what gets us to that 50 square feet. The sign.
John, can I just interrupt you for 1 second, just so my notes? The freestanding sign can't exceed 32 feet, and you're indicating it's what, 51?
50.1.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, John, these exhibits are A3, A4, correct?
That's correct. They've already been entered on the record. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that, Jeff. I didn't have a copy of the freestanding sign queued up here, but again, it's a monument sign. It's about 12 feet across, 4 feet up and down. Not excessive in terms of its overall dimensions there. It incorporates the wordmark and the logo right next to it. So again, sort of reinforcing the brand, meeting customer expectations. 50.1 is what the actual area equates to. 32 square feet would be the maximum allowed.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure my math was right.
Yep. The ground sign setback is at 10 feet, where 25 feet would be the minimum required. Again, that falls into the design layout that we just saw in the site plan and how this incorporates with that entry location. It is not going to interrupt or intercept clear lines of sight. It integrates nicely into the overall site layout. And in that regard, we believe that the benefit of clear and safe site identification would outweigh any detriment associated with that sign setback. Lastly, the directional sign setback. One of the signs is going to be set at 8.34 feet, where 10 feet would be the minimum required. Again, this is integration with the overall site design. Paul touched upon this in his testimony as well as to the rationale for that location, not interrupting lines of sight and relatively de minimis deviation from the ordinance requirement. Lastly, the width of the landscape island, we have a pinch point in one of the islands that necks down to 5.29 feet, where 6 feet would be the minimum required. That's short by not even a foot, so I would also couch that within the domain of de minimis. With all of that said, we take all of this relief We run it through the balancing test. And as I said, we look at the benefits of the application as a whole. I believe the benefits of the application as a whole would tie to at least four purposes of zoning in the land use law, and the signed package is necessary to effectuate the benefits that I'm about to recite. First, we see the advancement of purpose A, which is the promotion of the general welfare, because this project will deliver a permitted use, which explicitly means it serves the public good. It provides car cleaning services for improved visibility, safety, comfort, and prolonged car life. Additionally, the advancement of purpose G, the project will promote the planning goal to provide for a variety of uses in appropriate locations because the site is located on a main roadway lined with compatible commercial and auto service uses. Variety drives competition. And in the end, in a capitalist society, it's the customer who wins. The best value, the best quality is what this state-of-the-art facility would offer here. Additionally, purpose I, the project will promote a desirable visual environment because it will eliminate an eyesore, a vacant abandoned building which has not served any functional purpose for 8 years, and it will revitalize the site with active use and a fresh new image, a neat, clean, attractive building, well-organized site layout, landscaping. One of the niceties about this particular end user is the abundance of landscaping that goes on the site, and you saw that through Paul's testimony as well, and all of the other new site improvements that would go here. Lastly, we see the advancement of Purpose M, which is our planning goal for efficient use of land. As I said several times now, working within the development footprint of all what's already been disturbed, takes underutilized land, puts it back to productive functional use, I think also goes towards that purpose of efficient land use. Counterbalancing that with the negative criteria and first public impacts, based on all the testimony of very good witnesses ahead of me, sworn under oath, the site will flow, function, and operate safely, efficiently, and comfortably. The project is compatible not only with the zone, but the other uses in the area. So it's safe to say it's not going to alter the character of the area. As I said, the project is loaded with landscaping. It will certainly not have a negative visual effect. The traffic generation, as you just heard, will not be detrimental. The car wash is a modern, state-of-the-art, best-in-class, gold standard, economic, eco-friendly use that fits well here, and I think advances the goals of your master plan for that type of land use. The overall sign package here, in terms of its impact, is simple, it's tasteful, it's not overbearing, it's not gaudy or not excessive. Each one of those signs from the multiple vantage points do serve a purpose of identifying the site. And then lastly, in terms of the zone plan impact, this is not a substantial degree of departure from the zone plan. We're dealing with a permitted use here that substantially aligns with the zoning ordinance, but for some relatively minor relief for the signs. In that regard, the project will not impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan for a viable and stable commercial base. It will certainly reverse the ongoing stagnation, which is currently inconsistent with the zone plan intent. Relief relates to a distinct site with distinct attributes, and is certainly not going to open the floodgates for similar approvals elsewhere in the community and undermine the zoning in that regard. So in conclusion, I believe based on all the testimony, the applicant has met its burden under the law. The application is going to revitalize and modernize underutilized commercial land. It will give the site a fresh new look, and that's not only going to improve the image of the site, but the overall area as well and the Stelton corridor. Most importantly, the statutory criteria for relief are met under the C2 balancing test. And with that, I'll close that approval is warranted here. Jeff, that's all I have on direct.
Perfect. I have nothing further on direct. Board members, for Mr. John McDonough, I open up for questions and to the public.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. I think I have a combination of it's a question for Mr. McDonough, as well as I think internally here for the board, because I'm not exactly looking at the zoning ordinance. But this, Mr. McDonough, you stated several times that this car wash is listed as a permitted use. Is it specifically listed in the general business zone as a permitted use, a car wash.
The word car wash does not appear as a separate land use category, but certainly from a planning standpoint falls within the umbrella of a service land use. Service land uses cater to persons or people and personal property as well. And that's exactly what cars are. We spend a lot of money on our cars, and this is a personal service that relates to personal property.
Okay.
And so Councilman Cahill, I just so the record's clear, Ms. Corcoran, as the zoning officer, also deemed it as a permitted use, and that's why the planning board got jurisdiction, which was confirmed by
zoning board. Is this the first time this has happened with this kind of application?
No, we heard a car wash last year.
It was last year.
We've heard several car wash cases. Mm-hmm. It's always been
just down the road. Mr.
It's
Ball.
A permitted use, correct. Right, Mr.
Reinerstein? I'm sorry, there are a couple of people talking. I didn't hear what Mr. Reinerstein said.
Mr. Reinerstein said there was one just down the road.
It was in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that's on Sealy?
On Stellan Road, Gabrielle.
It's on Stellan
Road. On Stellan Road.
Mm-hmm.
So how
on the other side of Stellan Road.
So yeah, Ms. Corcoran has the final call. How I highlighted it, there is a category called retail and personal services stores, mm-hmm. which I think it would be most closely resemble that. I used that in the prior review. Ms. Corcoran, I think, didn't raise any issues. And I think that's really, it's a bigger umbrella. And I think that's where it falls under.
Okay. I concur. It's my opinion as well that a car wash is a permitted use in the GB zone.
Okay, thank you. The other maybe question I have is about the sign package. I understand all of the points that you made, and I probably wouldn't necessarily disagree, but I'm not going to agree to the sign package as it stands because we have denied these amounts of signs to like Aldi's. We only allowed them two, some others. So three signs. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think I'm missing something here in terms of a variance. Somebody was talking about 6 feet on one particular sign. The last on my page here, and I probably didn't look at the updated paperwork, and I apologize, Ms. Buckley. I had one here where there was a proposed directional sign at 0 feet. Was that adjusted to 8 feet back or something?
Yes, I'm not seeing that as relief anymore. I'll yield if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that relief is still being sought.
Okay, so that one was taken out. All right, very good. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the three signs, I mean, I clearly remember the Aldi application. They were, I think, granted two. Yeah, there might be some other things I would disagree on the sign package, but I won't vote yes on the sign package as it stands, just as a heads up to the board.
And Councilwoman, if it helps you at all, I'm just going to flip this back up here. There are two word mark and logo signs. That's it. Two. The third sign is this little identifier of where you would get your car mats cleaned. You put them in these machines and they'll clean your car mats. So that's sign number three right there. And that's only 8.8 square feet.
Mr. Okay. Where is that facing?
That is facing the north elevation. That's the long access to the building that would be facing the vacuum court.
And the parking lot, right?
The parking lot, yes.
Okay. So I'm coming down Stelton. I'm not going to really see that. If I turn into the lot, I'll see. It's more is that more identification for the patrons?
Internal patrons, yes. In the vacuum court, I think it's a good point in that this will certainly be substantially obscured by vehicles in the court. This view, by the way, on the bottom is what you would see if you were driving down Stelton. If you were driving south down Stelton, I'll say. So. You've got the identifier on the tower element, but really you're not going to see this. This is an internal sign, I call it.
So I'm heading south on Stelton. I see that Spark car wash. I pull in there and I see this identifier sign.
Yes.
And the exhibit above it, is facing Stelton, correct?
Correct.
So in essence, yes, you see it, but it's not something I'm going to hit the brakes on and say, hey, I got to hit the, go to the car wash. We're really looking at that sign facing north.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Councilwoman, does that, it got a little confusing for me also because I was trying to keep track of the changes. So it's, I guess a better way of stating it would be, there are two facade signs identifying the use of the property being a car wash. And what's, because it's on the facade, it's really more direct. It's, I mean, I got to lean in to read it, the spark part.
Yeah.
That qualifies as the third facade sign. Correct,
Mr. Yes, McDonough? And you might categorize it as more informational than advertising. Okay. It's not an advertisement per se.
And just so I'm clear on the variances that are still required, you have that three facade signs, we'll call it for right now. You also have the facade signs at 89.9, and when you add the three of them together, it's 129.1, correct?
Correct.
And then there's a freestanding sign not to exceed 32 square feet, and it's 50.1 square feet. That shrunk since the original plans, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And then the sign being located within the setback, which was 10 feet, I believe the applicant agreed to move that to the 8.34 at the last hearing, correct? And Mr. Chang, you can jump in if
I may. Can I have Oliver Young, the architect who initially discussed the signage, just to confirm everything
is correct? I just want to make sure the variances that you're correct. Seeking are the variances you're yeah. seeking.
If I could, Oliver, I believe you're a panelist, correct?
Yes, sorry about that. Just firing up the computer.
Oliver, could you just walk through again, just real clearly to the succinctly, the signage variances are being requested, the size, location, so that we're all clear of what is being requested by the applicant.
And sir, you understand you're still under oath from the last hearing, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
John, are you currently sharing your screen right now? Would you mind changing to sheet R2.1? I think that gives a good view of all the building signage here as well as the monument sign. Keep going. There we go.
I went too fast. Right there.
Much better. So here you see a good view of the two building signs at the front of the building on the blue element, which John referred to as a tower. They're both the same exact size at 76 square feet each. They're the Spark logo with the words Spark Car Wash underneath them. And you can see that John is zoomed in. You can also see farther down in the vacuum area, the very small lettering for what we're defining as the third sign, which is the Spark Park at 8.8 square feet. So by our math, summarizing the two larger Spark signs and the Spark Park sign, that's three signs totaling 160.8 square feet. In regards to the monument sign, you can see that closer towards the curb cut. And I believe we clarified that earlier in testimony as 50.1 square feet total. So in regards to variances on the building, the ordinance allows for one sign at a maximum area of 88.9 square feet, which is 10% of the front facade area. And we are seeking three signs totaling 160.8 square feet. I did mention in prior testimony that our calculation is a rectangle drawn around the Spark Car Wash and the Spark logo above it, which is centered over the words Spark Car Wash. What this does, perfect, John, thank you for highlighting that. That encompasses a lot of dead space in each sign. And in fact, it's about 24 square feet of dead space per logo sign, which totals 48 square feet of what we see as dead space. We subtract the 48 square feet from the 160.8 square feet total. That gives us a smaller square footage calculation of 112.8 square feet, which again is over the maximum allowed of 88.9 square feet for reference purposes.
And that's just a function of, it's not a rectangular pure sign. It's
correct. It's the way Spark wants to identify their signage with their logo. Let's say, for example, if we took that Spark logo and moved it down beside the lettering, it would create a much smaller rectangle.
Understood. It's just the manner in which it's the square footage becomes an odd measurement there. I got you.
Right. And we just wanted to clarify.
All right. Here's my thoughts on this. This is Mayor Waller. You get one sign on the building, you have one at the entrance, and that's it, period. Pick which one you want, and that's what you're going to get. End of discussion. So you're either going to have the one coming out or the one on the side, and you have the directional one. You're only going to get two. You're going to get the directional and one on the building, and that's it. End of discussion. Let's move on.
If there are no other, I'll see if there's any other comments. I'd ask for a 5 or 10 minute recess that we can talk about it internally, if that's okay with the board.
You're about to get a board and you guys are fighting us over the signs? Do you want us to vote no on the entire application?
No, Mayor.
Don't be stupid, right?
I need to have the client make the decision.
To me, this is a no-brainer here.
Absolutely. Right? No, Mayor, yeah. we will. I'm confident we will agree. I just need the client to confirm that.
All right.
Okay. I can't do it as the attorney.
Jeff, it's fine. Let's agree to it. Do we need to pick which one right now, or can we just agree to one sign?
Can we do it as a condition of approval with your staff, Mayor?
Can we do it as they'll pick the sign later, but they'll pick one sign?
Yeah, that's fine.
I just want to confirm with the group which one we prefer. Sign is totally fine. Thank you very much.
Right. And you're just referring, Mayor, to the two Spark car wash. Are you also referring to that little?
They're going
to
get the one on the street right there, the freestanding, and then they get just one on the building.
What about the little yellow sign? Just for purposes of the resolution.
Councilwoman, what do you want to do?
That little yellow one that said the mat washing. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's like 8 square feet.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that one because that's not a big logo sign. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And then, I don't know, Jeff, if it's you or your architect, where is the monument directional sign that's going by Stelton Road? How far off the roadway is it? Does that still need variance relief? Isn't it 10.34? What, Dawn?
I think it's 10 feet off the property line. You're talking about the monument sign. Correct?
Yes.
And the plans, it shows at 10 feet. Okay. I think the question is the directional sign. Has that been relocated? Because it's initially, and it is still shown on the site plan drawings as being on the property line. The members' directional sign. I know it's in my report. It's also in Ron's report.
Oliver, are you able to answer that, or do I need the...
I'm waiting for confirmation from the civil. I cannot answer that. Sorry.
I mean, we have Paul as well if we need to add him, but he's a panelist.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair, I have a question here. The car wash we approved last year was 1407 Stelton Road. I think, Dawn, you just... That was an existing car wash.
Yeah, that was down closer to School Street, but down from the McDonald's.
That's been there since I went to college.
Yeah, but they did an upgrade last year.
They came in for
All right. That's not the same as the new coming in to our board versus the zoning under general business.
It's the use. It's a car wash. It doesn't matter.
But the car wash was there before, Mr. Barlow.
But it's in the same.
I'm sorry. That's a That's not a fair comparison, because just before, I'm saying to myself, what car wash knew? And it's not a new car wash, it's a new owner. There's a car wash there. I'm not even going to tell you how old I am. There's a car wash there since I was in college. And it just changed hands and they upgraded. It was not a new company. It was an existing thing. So I'm going to tell you right now, vote or no vote tonight. My vote tonight is a no for this application. Just telling the board up front.
Okay, but just so the record's clear, the board either has jurisdiction or it doesn't.
But to say, Mr. Barlow, and I understand, you know, there's ways in which we do it in the terms and the regulations, but to say that this board approved a car wash as a blanket statement sounded like it was a new business. Is it an existing car wash that had been there for years and years and years?
Well,
for decades.
For decades.
And, you know, on zoning, they've grandfathered 2-family homes when they had to, you know, find from years before we changed zoning. You know, in my book, that business, if they needed variances for whatever, I mean, they would be grandfathered in because it was an existing use before. It was there before. It was a car wash. Wasn't anything else.
And then the jurisdiction would be the zoning board.
Right. Unfortunately, we don't grandfather anything here in Pittsburgh.
All right. Well,
I'm just saying, from a jurisdictional standpoint, car washes come to the planning board, whether new, old, or whatever.
Right.
We deal with car washes.
Okay, but our general business, I mean, like zoning says, unless it's specifically permitted, it's prohibited, right? Under 20 whatever of the zoning. I get it that it can be done, but what I don't understand is how all of a sudden that shift happened. And I'm confused by this application being here, number one. Number two, for all the reasons I said at the last meeting, I haven't changed my point of view on the location of it as compared to the one right down the street that they came in before, new ownership, changed it up a little bit. We approved it here. And the one that's, not even a half a mile away. I'm just saying that in the scheme of things, as you're planning out uses in the town, the particular location doesn't even make, to me, good sense. But I know that I can be overruled, and that's perfectly fine. Everyone has their vote. I just don't understand why this application would be approved as it is today based upon all the things that I said. But I just need to tell the board how I feel. And rarely do I ever do that, but it's very confusing to me, the location of this particular business as compared to the one that's further down on Selton Road, which probably wouldn't be affected by this. And I really, you know, that's not the reason why we do this. Competition is the name of the game. I come from retail. I believe in that. But I just don't understand, when there is quite a bit here, how that one in particular is of good use. And I understand. I'm going to probably be outvoted here, but that's just the way I feel.
And Councilwoman Cahill, this is Dawn Corcoran. As Tom did indicate, I did put this application before the planning board. As you know, it's located in the general business zone. The general business zone, as Mr. McDonough said, makes reference to personal service uses and retail. And although car washes may not be listed specifically here, not every particular use is. I mean, we have a self-service laundry, dry cleaning. These are all personal items. Your car is a personal item. That is why I chose and made the decision to put this application before this board, because it's a personal service store.
Okay, understood.
Just wanted to make that clear. So,
That's perfectly fine. Whoever put it forward, that's not even my concern. It's the location as compared to others, and my feeling that I just don't see how it it succeeds. I get the whole business perspective with the traffic and all that. And I was misunderstanding when we said we approved a car wash. I'm like, I don't remember a new car wash. So, you know, there for me, I just needed it to be on the record that, yes, we did. It did come before us. However, that type of business had been, was there for years and years. Mm-hmm. So that's all.
Are we ready to ask any more questions of this witness? Members of the board, are you with?
I just want to clarify. If someone can answer this question for me, Mr. Chen, what variances are left that you're seeking? Right. That's all I want to know.
Yep. I got Paul Much, the civil engineer from Stonefield.
Can you just tell?
Yep.
Okay.
Just to clarify the setback for the directional sign. Paul, could you just unmute yourself and confirm you are under oath and you're testifying?
Yeah, understood. Yeah, for the, we have a directional sign proposed along the northern property line. It's just a function of where the existing curb is and where the proposed curb is. There's not a lot of room between that curb and the property line, but we're happy to move it further back or move the sign in its entirety to avoid that 0-foot setback of that sign if that's the, you know, if that's the preference of the board and their professionals.
Okay. Can you move it so you don't need a variance?
What is the, off the top of my head,
10
what is,
feet.
10 feet. I would rather go with 5 feet, but again, I'll leave it to the board. We can always move that sign out of that position if we need to.
Is this the monument sign?
And what I'll do is I'll share exhibit
directional.
A3.
It's a directional sign. Okay.
Yeah, there's a very small directional sign that sits on the property line here. You know, I think there's an opportunity, as you can see, there's some stone and there's some area in between these parking spaces and the parking spaces that curb line could be shifted down. I'm not sure if we could do the full 10 feet, but there's certainly 5 feet to be had in there to adjust that sign, and or we'll end up moving the sign in its entirety to if the board is not comfortable with it.
It looks like you have striping, obviously you have the arrows, and then that says members. I'm sorry, I can't quite read if you could zoom in, but you do have the striping on the pavement there as well, right?
Members, yeah, there's two, okay. There's two lanes. There's one lane dedicated to members, two lanes dedicated to your daily washers.
Mr. Much, couldn't you put that sign kind of where the curve is, and there's that little shadow box right to the right of bollard type three?
I think generally we can make it work with the 10 feet. You know, I don't think there's any reason to belabor the point. That's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
We can comply. That's fine.
We can get rid of that one. Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Are we ready to proceed with questioning now? Any other questions?
I have no other questions, Madam Chair.
Are members, any other members of the board have questions? Hearing no response, we'd like to open it to the public now. Miss, would you open
any questions or comments? You please raise your hand. No, Madam Chair.
Seeing no response, it's closed to the public. Mr. Chang, do you have any other comments before?
Not to belabor. I think we've demonstrated this is obviously in accordance with this being a permitted use. It's supporting the town's image of revitalizing this area. It's been a vacant bank for 8 years. We're trying to make it a modern, eco-friendly car wash that is supported by the retail centers on Stellan Road and anchored by the multiple shopping centers in the area. We'd ask that this be approved this evening.
Thank you. Members of the board, what's your pleasure?
Madam Chair, this is Dawn Corcoran. Again, it is my opinion that a car wash is a permitted use in the JV zone. The applicant has agreed to comply with all the board professionals' reports. The applicant has agreed to one facade sign. The applicant's agreed to eliminate the directional sign. We've heard all of the testimony. I know that the applicant's worked with the staff to make various improvements to the site throughout the process. For those reasons, I'd like to make a motion to approve the application.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Before we vote, Madam Chair, I just want to clarify. The applicant's agreeing to the engineering report with Joe Herrera about the conduit lines?
Correct.
And to the make-ready, to the charging stations, correct?
Correct.
All right, that they're going to actually be operational before you...
Before a CO.
Receive the CO. Yeah.
They had agreed to that, yep.
Correct.
A motion has been made and seconded. Would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
No.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
And as an aside note with this application, I just find it very interesting that there's going to be four car washes within a mile and a half, 2 miles of each other. I don't know how it's going to work economically, but we're going to find out. So,
thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
All right, take care. Thank you.
All right. Our final item on the agenda tonight, number 14, is 21 PB31. M&M at Holes Lane, phase two.
Oh, it was postponed.
That was okay. Postponed, Madam Chair.
All right.
Your evening is yours now.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
We are adjourned, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Don't forget the 26th. 26th, we have a special meeting starting at 7 p.m., not 7:30, 7 p.m. I'll email everybody to remind you.
And we have a workshop too.
Thank
you. Have a good night.
Workshop, yes.
Take care, all. Bye-bye.
Earlier in the day. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Night, Tom.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, all.